Hi, I'm Simon Campbell.
And I'm Susie Starlight.
Welcome to the Supertone Show.
Cuts a hole in that beautiful chest, through the silk fabric in which you were dressed. The blood seeps away like the joy sliding out of my soul. You gave me a story, you gave me a sign, you took from my hand what was rightfully mine. But soon I found out that you didn't have the time all alone. Oh, call me romantic or call me a fool, 'cause the blade and the hammer were only a tool to keep you from telling I'm nobody's fool all alone. You painted a picture, you fed me a line, you gave me a choice that was your place and mine. But the truth was revealed after one glass of wine in my bed. You came along swishing your pigtails somewhat wholesale. But how did I know the barbs that lay beneath them? The scene was immortal, creating a rampage on the page, and fate was the one who turned me. Set up the vet, having left you alone with a dangerous pet. But this is an island where everyone knows everything. Or call me romantic or call me a fool, for the blade and the hammer were only a tool to keep you from telling I'm nobody's fool all alone. Even with this poor system in some disarray, I am sure they will give me an extended stay. But needless to say, got my own way in the end.
Simon Campbell, The Knife. The title track from his second solo album, The Knife. released on the 31st of October in 2014 on the Supertone Records label. I love that song.
Thank you.
And it's you. This is your second solo album, darling.
It certainly is, and it's quite a bizarre thing listening to it again, because we haven't listened to that track for some time, and it brings back great memories, because I remember recording it in our studio in the Isle of Man, known as the Gay Bar, if you remember.
I do.
We had Andy Seward producing it, who is a premier bass player from the UK, and he's a great record producer, Andy. He's done a lot of work with Kate Rusby and various other people. He's playing bass, and he's done a tremendous amount of production, but he's really in the folk here, and it's one of the only records I'd never produced, because I wanted somebody who was really specialist in producing folk music.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to record acoustic instruments, really. I'd been in the rock and roll world, you know.
And it was an experience, wasn't it? The whole album.
It was.
From personalities to studio recording techniques to your songwriting, from what I remember. I was there.
Well, you were indeed, and of course you contributed. The first contribution
we ever wrote together is one of our songs on the album.
Yeah,
Do You Want Me? In stereo.
Yeah, and it was a great time because on the harmonium there was David Kilgarn. Now, I love it in that break in the middle. You can hear it. There's a clack, and he's obviously, because he's pumping the pedals.
Yeah.
The harmonium, it's like an air device that you've got to pump furiously, and you can hear the clacking. But he did a great job on that. And Malcolm Stitt on the bouzouki. Yeah.
He made me cry.
Yeah, you know, and Malcolm is a brilliant musician, and, you know, he toured the world, and, you know. So I was very blessed to have some tremendous people on
I remember
record.
Going to Andy Cutting's place, and we went into a shed.
That's right.
And he recorded the hurdy-gurdy and the melodeon with Andy.
Yeah.
And then you got a pedal steel chap.
Yeah, that's right. BJ Cole was on it.
BJ Cole.
Yeah. And Dave Formula.
Exactly.
From, you know, from Magazine and all those.
Do you know what I say though? I've got to say, I really, really loved your experience and sharing that with you, because coming from a folk background, and you were sort of more rocky, bluesy, electronica, just all the other genres as well. It was so humbling as well to see you just so open up your heart to kind of go, right, I'm going to write these songs and I'm going to produce, to write them and arrange them in a way that is so different. I mean, I know that I love your tone in your voice when you sing in those real gentle ballads, it gives you goosebumps, you know.
Thank you.
And but it was lovely to actually see you with big wide open eyes and a big wide open heart just go
the
through
open
that
eyes is due to abject fear, because I had no idea what I was doing. I'm singing acoustics, if I'm singing come normal rock and roll baby and all this, you know. But one of the things that really got me about, because this was we were sort of together, and you played Mellotron on that record.
I did.
And you did some backing vocals. And, you know, what I did see is the scope of your musicianship and the whole thing, because we were dealing with some top shit. And, of course, on here was Christian Madden. You would never associate with this sort of music, but Christian, who, of course, now plays with Liam Gallagher Band, he's playing with us in the tour in October.
Yes.
Just for one gig, because we're doing it as a trio, but for this particular one, we're going to use
Christian. It's the final date of our tour. I think it's on the 14th at Coolham. Celebrating their 10th anniversary, actually.
And Christian, of course. I mean, he's
the
played...
The Madden.
The Madden. He's played an all...
We've been on tour with him. He's so much fun.
He is. He's played in all the solo albums, and he is fun. But what I like about Christian is he's a great musician, but also he's very funny. And when you go on tour with him, he's intellectually stimulating, and we've had some tremendous rows.
And provocative.
Oh, yeah. Some tremendous rows about politics. all the stuff that you shouldn't talk about, we have talked about.
Do you remember in our live album when he starts off with...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it melts us every time. It's so much fun.
Yeah, he's a great keyboard player. And, you know, what I like about him, he's he's like Johnny Henderson, who works with us quite a lot. We're going to talk about Johnny later on, but you know, Christian's more John Lord, and Johnny's more sort of Jimmy Smith and that, you know, all that sort of stuff.
So I have a question for you. Why are we featuring, what is the feature of this show?
Well, the feature of the show today is Bury and its surrounding areas, because a couple of weeks ago we started this series, and last week we did one on Ross on Wye, and today we're doing Bury, yeah, because we're playing there in October on tour, and what we do, we're featuring artists from that particular town or area. And Bury, there's not a tremendous amount of artists from Bury, but a surprising number. But we've got Bolton in here tonight as well,
yeah,
and Ratcliffe, where I was born.
Indeed. And the thing is, it was my suggestion, and I decided I wanted to start the show with you, right, because we're playing a homecoming gig at the Met in Bury on Friday, October the 6th.
We are.
It's a multimedia for one night only experience. We're going to be filming as well a live video, and recording the sounds. We'll have a live album from this gig. So
that's right.
Please, if you know Simon, even if you don't, rock up. And we're going to have so much fun. It's a multimedia. We're not doing it anywhere else on the tour. It's a real, real, real special homecoming. So I'm very excited. And congratulations, love. You were born in Ratcliffe in Bury, and today it's all about the North.
So I'm there, charging around with a juggernaut brow, overdraft speeches and deadlines to make, cramming commitments like cats in a sack, telephone burner, a purposeful gate. When out of a doorway the tentacles stretch of a song that I know, and the world moves in slow-mo straight to my head like the first cigarette of the day. And it's you, and it's May, and we're sleeping through the day. And I'm 5 years ago and 3,000 miles away. Do I have I took a hammer to every memento, but image on image like beads on a rosary pull through my head as the music takes hold and the sickener hits. I can work till I break, but I love the bones of you that I will never escape. And it's you, and it's me. We'll be right back.
Elbow, The Bones of You, from their fourth studio album, The Seldom Seen Kid, released in the UK by Fiction Records on the 17th of March 2008, and on the 22nd of April 2008 by Geffen Records in the United States. The album entered the charts at number 5 in the UK album charts and won the esteemed Mercury Music Prize in 2008. 2009, they won a Brit Award for the Best British Group. And it was recorded at Blueprint Studios in Manchester and is the first Elbow album to be entirely self-produced, mixed and recorded without any outside help. The album has a guest appearance by Richard Hawley, and all I can say about that particular track is that synth bass. When it comes in, it's monstrous and it's very beautiful. And, you know, and when I listen to that, I think about a new record and what we're doing with bass and stuff, which is very interesting. But
I know what you mean.
It's a long time since I've heard that, especially in headphones, because in headphones, everything sounds that little bit clearer and you can sort of hear a little bit more. Like at the end of that track, I didn't know that Summertime was in there. I've forgotten completely about that. But, of course, Elbow are from Bury.
Well, yes.
And I think now they've got the keys to the town where they can, they're allowed to...
Have they
to,
now, love?
Well, I think so. I think they're allowed to drive a flock of geese or something across the River Irwell and wear underpants on their head in the local pub or something. I don't know the key to that. Anyway, the pretty big cheeses in Bury.
Wow. Well, they were formed in 1997. Did you know that?
No.
By Guy and Mark Potter. They met at Bury College.
Yeah.
Bury College. Mark asked Guy to sing in a band with drummer Richard Jupp and bassist Pete Turner. And together they formed this band. It was called Mr. Soft.
Mr. Soft.
But it was named after that song by Cockney Rebel.
That's it.
Of course. And then Mark's brother Craig Potter joined the band on keys, and they played their first gig together at the Corner Pin pub in Ramsbottom.
I have been pissed in that pub so many times.
Have you?
Of course I have.
I thought you would, but I don't know it. I mean, yeah. I used to live in Somerset.
I think they ran the World Black Pudding Throwing Championships from the Corner Pin in Ramsbottom.
No.
Yes. And I had a bit of a set to with them because we were doing a gig at the Ramsbottom Civic Hall. These massive gigs. It was absolutely heaving, actually. But we tried to get the bar, and the landlord and landlady from the Corner Pin, we asked them to do it, and they didn't do it. So anyway, so it's a whole different story. But they are, the Corner Pin. But it was a great pub.
But it, you know, I've got to say as well, like this whole Ramsbottom thing, because it's like we've got a connection. It's like I used to live just down the road from you before I even knew you, because I lived in Edenfield and Somerset. So did you.
Mm-hmm.
You were born in Bury.
I was.
We have a...
Radcliffe. Well, born in Bury, but lived in Radcliffe. That's right.
And we have our friend Paul Husband, who's a photographer, who flew out to Portugal. And we've also had a photo session in Manchester together, who also has taken fantastic photos of Guy Garvey and Elbow and all the Manchester guys from the Order. And Paul Heaton, Jackie Abbott. So there's a one thing when you just, you know, when you just go, you think you know someone, but you haven't met them yet. It's weird, but you just kind of feel that you know them a little bit. But also, here's another thing that really, really freaked me out when I was researching the show earlier today. They changed their name from Soft a second time to Elbow in 1997, inspired by a line, what do you guess, in which BBC TV drama?
No idea.
I'll give you a clue. Okay. Shall I give you the clue?
No, just tell me.
The Singing Detective, written by Dennis Potter, who we featured in the Ross and Wy show last week. I feel like crying.
So where did the Elbow come from then?
The character, Philip Marlowe, in The Singing Detective, describes the word elbow as the loveliest word in the English language.
Wow.
So I feel I had goosebumps when I read that. Because it's like you're from Bury and I'm from Ross and Wy, and we've these last two shows now have really connected in terms of it's whoa, serendipity or
that
what?
That is quite amazing.
It's a bit weird, isn't it?
It is.
It's a bit like the case of our missing wine carrier in the back of the Van
of
Rohe.
Oh, no, that was really weird.
It was the weirdest thing, right? We've got this lovely, it's a cotton, well, it's a really canvas, really strong six-bottle wine carrier that we've
from
had.
From David Byrne Wine Merchants from Clitheroe, where, of course, that's where Christian Madden lives. We were talking about Christian earlier on.
So the other day, when we were clearing out the Van of Rohe, I mean, for weeks and weeks and weeks, we've tried to find it, haven't we? We didn't know where it had gone.
Totally.
I literally searched everything. We've got the cage for the girls in the back. They travel in the back of the van. And we just looked everywhere. And we have these recycling bins. And the other day, we opened up the back of the door because we'd been to the recycling. And there, in the middle of one of the recycling bins, sat this purple wine carrier that we'd lost for weeks.
Yeah.
There's no way it could have got in there.
Aliens.
Ooh.
Exactly.
Ooh. It's just really weird. So, anyway, going back to Elbow, because I'm quite fascinated. So now we've had this kind of really surreal moment. They won the local... I love the beginning of stories with bands.
Mm.
So they won a local battle of the bands. They signed with Island Records and recorded their first album with producer Steve Osborne at Real World Studios. But Island then sold out subsequently to major label Universal, and the band was dropped because they had a mass cull of a lot of acts on the label, and they didn't release the album.
Mm.
So they recorded, they carried on working as you do, you know. You just, this is the music industry, ladies and gentlemen. It's really, really tough. They carried on recording with Ugly Man Records. They had lots of support from the BBC. And I know Rachel Davis, who's a really good friend, who's a commissioning editor at the BBC, and she's really good friends with Guy. And their debut album, Asleep in the Back, was released in May 2001 on V2 Records. It's written over the course now of 6 years.
Wow.
And it contained 6 re-recorded tracks from the Real World studio sessions.
Wow.
So, you know, when you talk about a song, like, so you're talking about 6 years to do this album, and it got shortlisted for the Mercury Music Prize, and it got a Brit Award nomination for Best New British Band. And last but not least, before we move on to the next, don't read the secret notes. I saw you.
Not reading them.
Confess.
No secret notes.
Did you look?
No.
Okay. Right. In 2019, Guy was talking to a chap in an interview, and he, what do you think his 2 favourite albums of all time are?
Talk Talk, Spirit of Eden, and Laughing
you
Stock.
Cheat! You cad! You bounder!
Of course, Phil Brown engineered both those, our big mate Phil Brown, and 2 of our favourite records. Well, certainly, Spirit of Eden. I just love Spirit of Eden.
Just wanna love her like any other. What do I get? I only wanna bend the state to the end. What do I get? What do I get? Oh, what do I get? What do I get? Oh, what do I get? I'm in distress, I need a caress. What do I get? Just need a break. What do I get? What do I get? Oh, what do I get? What do I get? Oh, what do I get? I only get sleepless nights alone, here in my heart to death. The interest in the time I tried, I wish that only happened to me instead. What do I get? Oh, what do I get?
Buzzcocks, What Do I Get? Released as a single on the 3rd of February 1978 on the United Artists record label. And the B-side is called Oh Shit! And it gave them their first UK chart debut, peaking at number 37 on the UK singles charts.
Recorded at TW Studios, a film in London, produced by Martin Rushent. Cool producer. Started off the tape op alongside Tony Visconti.
Indeed.
At AdVision, working on sessions with Fleetwood Mac, T-Rex, Jerry Lee Lewis, etc., known for his work with Human League, Altered Images and Hazel O'Connor.
To name a few.
Indeed. Buzzcocks, as a few weeks ago now, we did another show on Manchester, but there's so many bands from Manchester, we decided to do another one. And tonight we are talking about bands from Bury and the surrounding areas, which of course are very close to Manchester, because we're playing there in October on our tour, and we're trying to do like a feature from all the cities and towns that we're playing. Buzzcocks, as I said a few weeks ago, I was smoking cannabis with the Buzzcocks in a tent at Deep Level Free Festival, but besides that, I don't really know them, except that our guitar dealer, the guy that we actually deal with quite a lot on for buying and selling instruments, certainly in the UK, was their guitar tech. So I do have a tenuous connection.
And
there.
We also have a link with Steve Gibson, who's our drummer on like all our albums, well, all our Starlight Cowboy Band albums, like Language of Curiosity, Blueberry Pie. He toured with the Buzzcocks as their drummer in '92 in Australia.
That's right, yeah.
And also, I got to see them at Cropredy. It was the most obscure experience.
Why were they at Cropredy?
I don't know. It was on a Sunday, and I remember just sitting cross-legged in a hippie-style fashion after, you know, you've got, like, the streets of London. Who was that chap that sang that anyway?
Ralph McTell.
Yeah, Ralph was on, and Nick Kershaw. I mean,
no.
He's really, yeah. And there was Yusuf Stevens, Cat Stevens was there.
Wow.
Yusuf. Stevie Winwood. Martin, what's his name now? Thompson, Richard Thompson.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, everyone was there. Sorry, I'm just thinking back now, it's been a while, because it was just like one big weekend of of beards and chairs and flags and of fantastic food.
What were the Buzzcocks doing there then?
I have
no idea. Punk man.
No, it was odd because, you know, everyone's like really peaceful and everyone set up their chairs and stuff, and I just sat down close to the stage because I like to really observe people and really get into it. So I like to get up front and central. And suddenly the Buzzcocks came on. I got moshed out of my patch on the grass.
I was surprised.
It was really weird. I was like, what's going on? But, you know, I mean, they were full of energy, but it was a bit odd. But
they wrote
cool.
Some, the thing is with the Buzzcocks, though, they always wrote great pop songs, and whether you liked them or not, and you've listened to that. I mean, you know, they haven't been playing long when they did this, and the bass is pretty nifty. You know, it's like they're not like a trashy band. You know, they can't. It's not as though they can't actually play.
No,
yeah.
They can actually play their instruments.
Yeah, and it's fast and furious, but the songs were always great. You know, they're always great pop songs.
Well, they were formed in Bolton in 1976 by singer-songwriter guitarist Pete Shelley and Howard Devoto. And he was actually formerly Howard Trafford, and he placed an ad at college at the Bolton Institute of Technology looking for musicians who liked the Velvet Underground.
I've played at the BIT loads of times.
Have you?
Of course I have, yeah.
Not BLT, BIT.
Yeah. Not Better, Less and Smarter.
Sorry,
Bolton Institute of Technology, yes, indeed.
Well, you know, it's funny, though. There's a few. My friend Lisa Allen, she's an actress, just been on Emmerdale recently. She was at Salford with me in my course when we were doing the medium performance, and she comes from Bolton.
Is that right?
Yeah. And so does Sarah Cox, who's the radio. I think she's still on Radio 2, Radio 1, Radio 2 presenter.
Wow.
There's loads of Vernon Kay. It's like loads of people from Peter Kay. Peter Kay comes from Bolton, love.
He does.
He did the course, my course. Right. When I left Salford, he did my course a year after, and that's when he introduced the stand-up comedy model. Not saying I could ever be.
Our American friends probably won't know who Peter Kay is, but you need to look him up. He's a British comedian. Well, very, very funny.
He's just really, really great, fantastic funny. Anyway, so see what I mean? There's like up north, there's a load of creative people.
Totally.
So they chose the name the Buzzcocks after reading the headline, "It's the Buzzcock," in a review of the TV series Rock Follows in Time magazine.
Wow.
I love all this. All this amazing. Kind of, where did you get your name from? So, because buzz is the excitement of playing on stage and cock is a Northern English slang for meaning friend. Yeah. Just so you know. All right, cock.
Hey.
Hey, love. So there you go. So after reading an Enemy review of the Sex Pistols, Shelley and Devoto, they went down to London because they thought this band sounds like really cool. And they saw them play in February 1976. They were so impressed that they were the ones that got the Sex Pistols to come up to Manchester and play at the Lesser Free Trade Hall in June 1976. And they were supposed to be playing, but, you know, some of the musicians in the band left and they couldn't scrabble a band together.
Holy shit.
Can you believe that? Oh, God! This is always what happens in bands.
Faith pours from your walls, drowning your calls. I've tried to hear, you're not near. Remembering when I saw your face shining my way. Pure timing. Now I've fallen in deep, slow, silent sleep. It's killing me. I'm sunshine in your life. Fallen rift came like a gift. Your body. then it's replaced, sunsetting. And suddenly you're in love with everything.
Badly Drawn Boy, The Shining, the opening track from his debut solo album, The Hour of the Wildebeest. It does finish that abruptly, incidentally. Released on the 26th of June 2000 on both XL, and we know XL Recordings from The Smile and Radiohead, of course, and Twisted Nerve Records. It was accompanied by four singles, including a re-release of Once Around the Block. The album was critically acclaimed and won the 2000 Mercury Music Prize, beating his contemporaries, The Doves, or Doves, I should say, to the £20,000 prize. Don't try and do that.
I know, I can't do it.
We've got two doves that live
in our
house.
I know, Mr. and Mrs. Dove.
Yeah, they're very beautiful. They come every morning and hang around and stuff. It's all very good. I think they were actually shagging the other day.
They did, actually, outside the
front
the
door.
Wall.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. Anyway, two doves shagging, that's probably a good name for a...
a single.
An album. Anyway, so produced by Badly Drawn Boy, Gary Wilkinson, Joe Robinson, Ken Nelson of Gomez, I love Gomez, I've forgotten about Gomez, Coldplay, Ray De La Montagne, another great artist from America, and the Charlatans.
Yeah.
You know, so he received the prize, he tossed the prize money on the ground and said, I've always assumed I was never going to win because good things don't happen to good people normally.
Wow.
So, you know, I mean, he wasn't actually born in Bolton, although he grew up in Bolton.
He did, yeah. So, you know, he popped out in Dunstable, and he was growded in Bolton.
Growded.
I know, I love all that. Playing with words, it's good fun. Damon Michael Goff. Now, he chose his stage name from a character in the show Sam and His Magic Ball, which he saw on TV at a party when he was in Trafford in Greater Manchester, way back in 1995. And when I used to live in Chawton, I've seen him a couple of times, actually. He used to hang out. Occasionally I'd go to a bar down there on Beach Road, and he was there. And I worked on a gig once. It was in, where was it now? It was in Cathedral Gardens in Manchester City Centre.
Mm-hmm.
And I was backstage, standing right back. He was having a cigarette, and we were just hanging out.
Did he have his tea cosy hat on? Because
yeah,
I was renowned for his tea cosy hat.
Of course he did.
Interestingly, his latest album, released in 2020, Banana Skin Shoes, which is a great title. The artwork was done by our mate, Darren Newman.
Yeah.
And Darren, also from Manchester, and he worked with Barry Kinder. They had a company called Fiddle Creative together, and I've worked with them for years on album covers and everything, and they're both great friends
absolutely.
Of ours. Lovely, lovely guys, went to the weddings and everything. Really, really cool people. And but Darren, he does everything analog. He doesn't use any digital at all.
No, it's
so he doesn't
the pen.
Use any. Yeah,
is it me and my pen?
That's what he calls himself, me and my pen. Yeah. So, and then Barry is more of a sort of a standard, well, not standard, not at all standard graphic designer, because he does some great work.
Just some wizardry, doesn't
yeah,
he?
And yeah, that's kind of... he's a bit of a wizard. And this
tracking Kern.
And this particular album, that's right. This particular album, we've got a new man on the scene. So there's Darren and Barry, who are a tough act to follow. But now we've got the lovely Tiago Cruz.
We have for our new Starlight One album.
And Tiago is a friend of ours that we met in Smora Crane. He's a great designer and a great friend of ours, and he's doing all our stuff.
Oh, he's done wonders. I'm so excited. I tell you, I've always loved working with Barry, and with this one with Tiago, it's like it's a new fresh project, and I've done the album artwork. Me, I did it.
You did.
I have. I don't
it's
know how
a
to
collage.
How do I say it in words without
monkeys.
Sounding like a yeah, well, it's a Starlight. I did a I've been making collages as part of our new Starlight One project. And so the album cover, we're going to let you know. We're going to send it out, I think, for pre-order very, very soon.
Yeah, that's right.
So, in fact, you can pre-order it now if you go onto our website, starlight-campbell.com. And okay. It's there. It's a bit exciting. And also, Darren did the album cover for Kyla Brox, our friend Kyla.
That's right.
You can tell
everywhere.
His style. I mean, he's just great. But I really like, I'll tell you what I like about Darren. With Darren and with Damon as well, with Ballydrum Boy, is I love the instruments he's used on this. There's a guy called Sam Morris on French horn, and of course
it's
every
great
time
French
I hear,
horn part,
I know.
Yeah.
Well, I used to play French horn at school, and you love it. And you've got Jimmy Goodwin from Doves on bass. You've got Jez Williams from Doves on guitar, and you've got Andy Williams from Doves on drums on some of the tracks.
And Jez lives in Porto now.
He does.
He's a friend of ours on Facebook, yeah.
Yeah, so that's really cool. So, I mean, isn't it weird, though? So you've got some members of the Doves over here in Porto, and we're in Samora Correia, which is just north of Lisbon. And Ballydrum Boy, I really like his brokenness, actually. I was reading an interview with him earlier today, and he's been through it. But I really like his openness and his willing to sort of look at shit and go, okay, we're going to have to sort this out. And he talks like he talks as a man who understands how some of the things that really break you, and he can tell you about it. That's what I like about him. He's got a gentleness in his soul.
Well, Pat Bashel from Rolling Stone compared Damon to Elliot Smith.
And of course.
Nick Drake, big names.
Yeah, yeah.
And wrote, like Drake, he's mastered the art of evoking melancholy without slathering on too much sentimentality.
God knows what is hiding in that weak and drunken heart. I guess he kissed the girls and made them cry, those hard-faced queens of misadventure. God knows what is hiding in those weak and sunken eyes. A fiery throng of muted angels giving love and getting nothing back. Drag you down. Oh.
Cherry Ghost. People Help the People. Their second single from their debut album, Thirst for Romance. It was released on the 12th of June in 2007 on the Heavenly Record label. It won the Ivor Novello Award for Best Song, and Jimmy Goodwin of the band Doves plays drums on the single. And it peaked at number 27 in the UK singles chart and was also a hit in Italia.
If you're homesick, give me your hand and I'll hold it. What a great line. Mm-hmm. It's the sort of line you always want to write, you know, beautiful, beautiful lyrics. And our, talking about Christian Madden again, because they're all connected, all these people. We're all connected together, you know, and talking about Christian. Mm-hmm. And Christian worked on, was it last album? The third and final album. He worked on there, and of course, Christian worked with the Earlys. He was part of the Earlys. He was one of the band members with Liam Gallagher. It's the only thing I say about that record is it's far, far too compressed. It upsets me, the amount of the lack of dynamic. It just comes in, it's like a block, a slab of music, then just goes off again. And I just don't like that. It's horrible. And it shouldn't be done like that, because it's, you know, it should never have been mastered that fiercely, because it's such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful track.
Maybe needs room to breathe. It's interesting, though, because it's like a fashion of how songs sound through different years, like the sound of the times, and it changes in the studio, doesn't it, from like gated drums and all that kind of reverb stuff. You hear it, you can hear, like, you know, a song's recorded in the 80s because of the sound it's got
from that style.
It's weird. And just like this, with that compression, like you say, it was recorded actually at a place called Ape Studios in Cheshire and Moulin Rouge Studios in Stockport.
Oh, well, there you are. You see, Cheshire set, that's why it's so compressed. Yeah, they were all pissed up on Chardonnay.
But you can probably tell there's a north-south slight difference in personalities when it comes to being up north. Also, Simon, he grew up, I think he was born in Bolton, but he definitely grew up in Bolton, and he wrote this song in his bedroom in the run-up to Christmas in 2005. That's why he's featured on the show, because he's a northern lad.
Mm.
And James Dean Bradfield of the Manic said that Thirst for a Romance, this album, was his favourite album of 2007.
Yeah.
You can tell, can't you, really? I mean, they have that kind of feel about it, really. So I didn't know as well, though, that Simon Aldred is a singer-songwriter, and Cherry Ghost was really just an alias for him as a solo artist before it morphed into this full band scenario. And my friend Dan Lloyd, Dan Carey is his acting name. He knows Simon. Oh, I think his mum knows his mum or something. It's really funny. He was talking about it the other year. So the name Cherry Ghost is a reference to the Wilco song Theologians from the album A Ghost Is Born.
And the connection here, of course, with that is Jeff Tweedy from...
Oh, of course.
That's right, from Wilco, is a Substacker, which is... Substack is the platform that we put our blog on, Vibes. You can catch it, vibes.starlight-campbell.com. And he does a regular blog on there as well, as many other people. I think it's the best sort of journalistic website out there for really interesting... I hate the word to use content, but it is.
Stories.
It's, you know, stories and long essays and stuff.
Yeah.
There's some very intelligent people on there, some great writers. And, you know, we started sort of, was it earlier this year? Late in December.
So we're taking in turns each week, and it's quite lovely, actually, because it's, and also just checking out other people there, because it's not about sort of major clickbait stuff or trying to grab attention. It's actually having like more of a connection with the person that's writing the material, so you can subscribe for free. Or if you really dig what they're doing, you can actually just support them directly and actually become a patron and give them some money. And then you're like a paid subscriber and you get access to extra content as well, because if something clicks with you, it's a really... Sometimes as well, you know, as artists, you need to give people opportunities to be able to connect with you. I think sometimes, you know, when it comes to albums and releasing it, vinyl... And creating beautiful T-shirts or handmade things, it's about giving people the opportunity to buy that from you, to support you. That we need to give people a chance to. And I think the subscription model for writers and artists is the way forward going forward from the whole mass media, social media thing. It's a much more intimate experience.
Well, it is. And the thing is, this is a recent thing because in the past, if you wanted to read an author, you'd go and buy the book. Physically go and buy it. If you went to watch a movie, you go to the theatre and watch a movie. Or even now, you've still got to rent it. Movies have still kept that sort of grip on paying for the art, you know? Music has lost it completely. You know, you used to go and buy records, you used to go and buy singles, you used to go and see live concerts and pay for tickets. And now people are expecting it free, which is just not sustainable for the artist, you know? Mm. We're full-time artists, and we've seen it's been terrible. I mean, you know, really been very difficult because, you know, of this model. And so many of our contemporaries have got, all of them have got exactly the same problem.
Yeah.
And that's why this time we're just not going to go on Spotify. We're just not going to go on these free, you know, things. Anyway, I don't want to go on about
that. I think that's the first time we've actually told everyone, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've made the decision not to stream our new album, Starlight One. It's going to be available on Bandcamp because it supports the artists, and vinyl and CD.
Yeah, and Bandcamp, you can stream up from the app and stuff.
Of course, if you buy the digital, you can listen to it all the time. But it's about stopping. There's so much noise out there. It's like if you value the journey, then you know, get serious about it.
Thank you.
Schofield, Anything But Time, the title track from his fourth album, released in 2011 on the New Gene record label. Now, Matt.
We met Schofield.
That's right. Well, we met him in Wangaratta for the first time.
In Australia.
And he was playing with our keyboard player, Johnny Henderson, who'd done all our records. But Johnny was on tour with Matt. We had a keyboard player from Australia, Clayton Dole, who's an amazing keyboard player, one of the best in Australia, really. So we were all there, and we met, and for the first time I found out he was born in Ratcliffe, where I was born. Actually, Fairfield Hospital in Bury. But he lived in Ratcliffe.
That's weird.
Isn't it weird?
It's like, how come? Like, so we travelled halfway around the world, and Matt was headlining the Wangaratta Festival of Jazz and Blues on the Friday night, and we were headlining the Saturday night, and you met in the hotel on the Friday night.
Absolutely incredible. Well, we couldn't get a beer, but that's another story.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And it's, you know, his guitar playing, though, at this stage, because it's like quite a long time ago now, and, yeah. You know, Johnny plays great on it and stuff, keyboards, Hammond, but he really sounded very much like Robin Ford when he started off, and he's grown a lot, you know, because he was trying to do that Robin Ford thing, or doing it very, very well, because he's a fantastic guitar player. But so sort of he's matured now, but he's a fantastic and wonderful blues guitar player.
Yeah, it's... It is a bit weird, though. So you've got, like so Johnny as well. Johnny, when he plays Hammond, you know, he sacks the bass player off. I don't have a job. Because he plays bass with his left hand, like they did in the 50s and 60s. I remember when he plays with us, he's like, oh, step away. I need my job.
That Jimmy Smith thing.
Yeah, the Jimmy Smith thing. It's funny, though. I mean, because actually what happened was that Matt grew up in Ratcliffe until he was seven, but it was his dad's record collection again that influenced him. Isn't it funny? The influence of your parents. Albert Collins, B.B. King, Freddie King. But he said he really liked more like the Hendrix, the electric guys, like Clapton as well. And when his dad moved to the States when he was 11, he used to go to the States every summer for 6 weeks.
Is that right?
Yeah, so that's why. And he's living now out in the States.
In Florida, that's right.
Yeah. So it's like, and I didn't know this as well, that he actually toured with Dana Gillespie for 4 years.
No.
Yeah. How weird is that?
Well, Dana, of course, is a friend of ours through Phil Brown, the producer. Engineer, I should say. What amazing.
Yeah. It was a bit weird, because the last time we saw Dana, she was playing at the Great British Rock and Blues Festival in Skegness, and we just played, and I think she was playing somewhere else later. It was just like, it's a really small world, and I'll tell you what it is. I love music. I love the way it's a matchmaker. And if you really, really, I'd love for you to come and join us, because we are all about, these shows are all about where we're going to be gigging with Starlight and Campbell. So on Friday the 6th of October, we'll be at the Met in Bury. It's a special homecoming for Simon Campbell, my man, my best friend. And we'd love to share it with you. We've got a multimedia experience you won't experience anywhere else on the tour. We're recording a live video, and we'd love to share enough music with you.
That's the end of the show. See you next week.